When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we come to you every single week with information about successful aging. Now, this should not take anybody as a surprise. It is the fastest growing generation, that's the baby boomer, living the longest. More people living over the age of 85 than ever before, but more people living over the age of 100 than ever before. And yet, it seems to be the topic that dare not speak its name. Instead, we keep talking about anti-aging. Well, this is the pro-aging group, and we have with us today a wonderful guest who's making it all happen. For you, in your environment, in your lifestyle, in the architecture around you. And his name is Mitchell Elliott. He is an architect. He is principal at RDG Planning and Design in the great state of Nebraska. But he is working in 30 states in the United States. Most recently, he's currently the president of SAGE. Now, for those of you who don't know what SAGE is, it sounds like a very sagacious organization filled with wisdom. Well, it is. It's the Society for the Advancement of Gerontological Environments. In my English, from Brooklyn, it means it's going to help you where you live. And Mitch is with us today to talk about the trends, the things you should expect. So many of you have written to me on our website, Ask Adrienne, GenerationBoldRadio.com. Where's a good place to move? I know you're thinking about that. So, and when you do, what kind of housing is the best? We're going to talk to Mitch about that right away. So, Mitchell, thanks so much for being with us today. We have a lot to talk about.
Thank you, Adrienne. It's my pleasure to join you.
And what we're going to start with is let's just introduce a little bit first about this organization, which I think most laymen don't know about, called SAGE. You're the president. Give us an example of some of their mission and how it all got started.
Well, thank you very much. SAGE, as you said, the Society for the Advancement of Gerontological Environments. I am very pleased that we go by the acronym and not by the full name.
But
we're really a collaboration of what we say are like-minded individuals with a common goal of improving the physical environments for older adults. And so we are a collection, an association, if you will, across the nation. And actually, we've got some international folks as well that are members. But we're a collection of architects, interior designers, product suppliers, solution providers, senior living providers, researchers, folks in academics. It's really a broad brush representation of many folks who have a vested interest in the environments for aging. Now, we don't get significantly involved in the operational side of senior living, but we're really focused on the opportunities to really raise the bar in terms of quality environments for older adults.
One of the biggest moving targets, though, Mitch, is the word older adults. As you have been involved with SAGE and then eventually became president, is there a definition is it an age definition? Is it a physical condition definition that architects and designers think of when they think of building or designing for the older adult? Who's the older adult from SAGE's point of view?
Well, I heard someone say once that old is 15 years older than where you're at currently.
Correct.
And so it's really we're really focused in on what I would say the 55 plus age group.
Okay.
And as you know, age is a mindset.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to be transparent here. I'm going to my 40th class reunion this weekend, and there have been discussions about the aging process, about are you feeling older, are you looking older, and it really is an attitude. And so when we look at our focus on environments, it's really that 55 plus age group. It may be very active and more of villas and cottages, for the younger age group, all the way to hospice as we celebrate end of life. And so that's really the two polar opposites extremes of the environments that we really focus on.
So let's walk away now from the collaborative effort of SAGE as an organization and go to your company, RDG. You're building
sure.
things. And it's not a new company. It's been around for a while, so trends have been observed. You know, I tend to think, and I think we all want to believe, that the 55-plus now is a very active type of group, maybe more like people in their 40s, some retired, many not yet. Is it true? Have you seen a difference in the demands of that group for more activity, more wellness, or are we just is that just a marketing approach that just makes us feel good?
We've seen significant increases in what Colin Milner would refer to as the active aging, the thriving lifestyle. Today, in the senior living environments that we're designing and we're developing with various clients around the country, the focus is on the experience. So whether it's dining, whether it's the life-enriching activities that happen, the socialization that happens within senior living environments, it's really a focus on the experience. We actually have seen clients of ours that are starting to hire chief experience officers to focus completely on from the time that you initially visit a senior living environment until you've moved in and you're experiencing life there, they're looking at and focusing on what are the experiences that you have from a social standpoint, from a healthcare standpoint, from a wellness standpoint. So today, what I've seen is experience is the buzzword, and it goes way beyond marketing because the proof is in the pudding. We know that many folks, maybe in their retirement years, maybe living by themselves, family is spread out across the country, and so if we're not careful, loneliness will set in. So one of the great strategies that many providers are looking at today is how do you battle that loneliness to make sure that the environments are engaging and the culture is very, very engaging for folks that are moving into some of these senior living and retirement communities.
Yeah, and it's critical. We've had many folks here, including physicians, by the way, and the geriatricians, who will tell you with precision that if you have over five friends that you keep in contact with, you actually live 2.5 years longer just by that dint. That's so many surveys. But most importantly, that isolation kills, that you do shorten your life. We can't tell you to the minute, but it's there is no doubt about that, that isolation kills. And a community where you have to make friends almost like in high school, and there are cliques and you're not accepted or it's not quite right for you, is a killer, and particularly if you went there because you were isolated in your own home. So what RDG is doing, what SAGE is doing, is a health component. That's the health component of the environment. So we're going to set this up for our next section with Mitch Elliott. I want to talk about differences in different parts of the country. Because your company, it works in almost 30 states, and you're, though, headquartered in the Midwest, I was explaining during our little break together, a little talk together, that I was concerned that what we hear about and what we see in the slick magazines as consumers are very, very East Coast and West Coast. You're either seeing, the Florida lifestyle and what that could mean, or maybe North Carolina, or it's all about Palm Springs and what's happening in Malibu and what's happening on the West Coast. But some of the greatest design is happening in the middle of America, and that's where it can also be much more cost-effective. So when people need to move from a state that is just too expensive for them, I'd love to get your take on what you like, what you've seen, and what you've built in many, many parts of the country so I can widen the thinking of the folks here. There are many people in the state of New Jersey who are paying $10,000 to $12,000 easily a year just in property taxes. And while they love the state, they may have to move. And so in many ways, I'm asking this on behalf of all the states in the United States and all the people who live there, where retirement is hard. And we'll be back in just a moment. And when we are, we're going to talk about this very fundamental question. Where should you move, particularly if you don't need to live in a certain place for your job or for your family or for your health? You don't have a connection. You want to move somewhere. You don't want to be isolated. As Mitch Elliott says, the idea of being connected is one of the most important experiences that you can have as you age. Without it, you can be frail. You can decline. We'll be back. I'm going to face that one problem from a man who knows and has seen a lot of what's going on in this nation.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
And hello, hello, hello. We are back. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're here today with Mitchell Elliott. He's an architect, one of the premier architects in the field of what I call successful aging. He's a principal at RDG Planning and Design. He hails from Omaha, Nebraska, but he works all over the country and outside of the country as well. He's also the president of SAGE, a really important organization in this field, Society for the Advancement of Gerontological Environments. He's already told us it's all about the experience. But what I was asking him was to tell you a little bit about some of the important projects he's working on that he might be very involved with, and give you a taste, an insider's taste of what's really going on in housing around the country and the active adult environment. Maybe giving you a little pointers of what you could look at and open your eyes to new things if you are thinking about retiring elsewhere. Thanks, Mitch, for being back with us. And before we do anything, just where can we find you and some information about RDG?
Sure. We are, like everyone else, on the web. Our website, if you want more information about RDG, is www.rdgusa.com. And that will take you to our overall website. Senior living is just a part of what we do at RDG. We have actually about 25 different markets that we focus on in terms of architecture design. We have 25 individuals that are dedicated to focusing on senior living environments. That's a combination of architects, interior designers, landscape architects, and though that's the team that I have the opportunity to co-lead with a number of other core individuals within our organization. And we're, as you mentioned, we are in 28 states with current projects, architecture, planning, master planning, interior design, FF&E planning, all those various services. We are working very diligently in Florida. And Adrienne, you've mentioned that Florida has always been a hotbed. We work for Shell Point Village, which is one of the largest CCRC provider organizations out of Fort Myers, Florida. We are working with them to actually enhance and right size their skilled nursing and short-term rehab environments. And that's one thing that we're seeing fairly significant work within around the country is what we call the right sizing of those skilled and nursing environments. The days of shared rooms in the medical model, layouts that were very popular in the 60s and 70s, providers are really needing to take a hard look at making some significant improvements. And, the expectations of us baby boomers is relates to the experience that we were talking about in the previous segment. That experience needs to extend into short-term rehab and long-term care. So the private rooms, more choice, opportunities for differing dining venues, even if I am a full-time wheelchair user, those are my expectations, that I can have those type of experiences even in long-term care, even in the latter years of my life. So that, I think, is one of the trends that we're seeing, and thankfully so. I think for years,
let's
the skilled nursing...
For 1 minute. Yeah, I know you're from also a healthcare background. You've seen things that you don't like, and I definitely want to talk about that a bit. But I want to ask one question just relating to what you just said. This is
sure.
The Fountain of Truth, and the CCRC... It's a continuing care retirement community. You rattled that off, but a lot of people might not know what that means. You're able to go in there with independent living, and then you can have continuing care and assisted living, even up to a skilled nursing home, sometimes even hospice. So here's the question. It's a jugular question. Are people who are baby boomers and healthy and ready for independent living only going to a CCRC, in other words, looking for this continuing care, they're that thoughtful about their future? Or are they mostly coming from either their own home or an active adult community, which I know that you designed, and then when they become more frail, they go into a CCRC environment? It's a real mindset for a baby boomer to think of themselves as declining before they do. So I'm very interested in this particular trend. What are you seeing there?
We're seeing actually a decline in what has been the traditional CCRC or leading age now calls it the life plan community. As you said, it's an entrance fee product. It's really you're buying an insurance policy, if you will, for that extended care all the way through the continuum of life. That model is declining and is being replaced with more of a rental-based model, where you're really paying for the services that you need when you need them. Many, many people who are considering moving, maybe they can no longer or don't want to take care of their single-family home, aren't as excited about putting down $250,000 or $300,000, in some cases $500,000 as an entrance fee into these life plan communities. So I think you've really hit the nail on the head that we want to avoid thinking into the future of what could be the possibilities from a healthcare standpoint, but we want some assurances that those services are available, but only when we need them. And we really want to only pay for them when we need them.
So, I wasn't sure because I always call myself a walking statistic, because everything that happened to all the baby boomers nationally have happened to me. I am the leading edge baby boomer. So sometimes I judge things by my own standards, and I have to stop that, and I have to take a look and see what's really happening, not just what I want to happen. But I did think that was the case, because I would not personally. You went to your 40th reunion. I went to my 50th in May. So there you go. I'm talking
Excellent.
About college. Yeah, I'm talking about college here. So the thing is that I cannot judge the world by what I would like, but I do know that as I am continuing to be robust, poo, 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 as my mother would say, I would not go into a CCRC, but I would want to know what's there and what facilities are there. Now, when we come back, we'll be back in about a minute and a half, no more. I do want to talk about this regional issue, because, again, we have Florida. We have pockets of this country whose brand, I call their brand, it is to attract seniors. And we all know where they are. And North Carolina is South Carolina trying to come up to some of the West Coast places in Florida. But I'm very interested in what's going on in other parts of this country and whether it's similar, because home costs are very different. You can't sell a house in Waco, Texas for $500 and put your money into a place with great experiences, on the West Coast. It's very different in what things cost in different parts of the nation, and perhaps therefore it affects architects and what they're building.
You may think
we come back, we're going to take a little bit of a break. big trip around the U.S.
Not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate.
And this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, and aging is hot. I hope that many of you have been reading my columns in my blog. Bottom Line Personal is the largest newsletter, personal newsletter in the United States right now, and they asked me to be one of their bloggers. No surprise to you, the topic is aging, and the name of my blog is Aging for Beginners, because I think we're all beginners, and remember that aging starts at age 30. That is your physical, biologic aging. And it goes on, hopefully, forever. So we don't want to be anti-aging. We want to be pro-aging, because think of the alternative. And take a look at, you just Google Adrienne Berg, B-E-R-G, blog, or Bottom Line Personal blog, and you'll see not only some of my latest stories, but also some very interesting videos. And among them, you'll find information on thoughts about what's happening in the field of environments for aging. And that's apropos of our current guest, Mitchell Elliott. He's an architect. He's principal at RDG Planning and Design, and he works all over the country. He's also the president of SAGE, Society for the Advancement of Gerontological Environments. And we're going to talk for a moment on what's going on all over the country, what's different from the areas that have a brand like Florida. But first, Mitch, just tell us where to find SAGE. We do have a lot of professionals who listen to the show.
Sure. Thank you, Adrienne. We also have a website for SAGE. It's www.sagefederation.org. Excuse me. We're a 501c3 organization made up of architects and interior designers and providers. It's just very, very much a collaborative organization. And, you know, one of the interesting things, and this gives us a real snapshot as we look at trends across the country, we provide jury members for two specific design competitions that occur during the year. One is the Design Showcase that Environments for Aging website puts on. And then the other one is the renovation and remodel competition that happens in late spring. And so that gives us a snapshot. You know, at any point in time, we probably have 80 to 100 submissions of projects that are either, you know, in progress or have been completed, that we have an opportunity to evaluate, to rate, and to determine what's the best of the best around the country. So that's just one opportunity that SAGE members have to be able to peek into what's currently happening with trends.
Now, you know, I read your newsletter too, and EFA's newsletter, and I read recently about, I think it's Bermondsey, I want to say Bermondsey in London, area, which is building a senior community that's a high rise and opening the door to Starbucks type, it's probably a different company, coffee house for just the people who walk by. So that this idea of not being isolated, the interaction into the community is available to them in an urban setting, in senior housing. So much is happening that's counterintuitive to what senior housing used to be. And in being in the forefront of it, what do you see in areas in other parts of the country, in other states, that don't have the brand of necessarily being, here's where we go to retire?
One of the things that we're seeing, Adrienne, is a more of an urbanization of senior living. For years, developers and housing providers were going to the edges of communities. We called them greenfield startups, where they were purchasing 30, 40, 50 acres of land and really almost isolating themselves from the urban fabric of a community. And with the lack of availability of land, with land prices, and for seniors desiring walkable, more connected communities. We're seeing some movement back toward an urbanization, if you will. So we're working on some master planning projects in some various communities, Oklahoma City, St. Louis, other communities within the Midwest, that we're looking at maybe an acre site in a downtown urban area, and then looking at creating more of a high-rise opportunity. And just what you talked about, that ground floor becomes a very much mixed-use opportunity for the Starbucks, for restaurants, for even office space, you know, WeWork-type shared office spaces that becomes a nice intersection between the community and the senior living residents that may be living in that high rise. So it's very exciting to see a true engagement between residents and the surrounding community.
Now, I'll go even further than that. The WeWork spaces, and for you know, who don't know that, it's kind of like rental, or you know, everybody uses the same printer, and you've got a ready-made office. It's very important for boomers, too. We're not really retiring. We're consulting. We're writing blogs. We're doing creative things. And to isolate ourselves in a home of any type, whether it's a condo or a mansion, we will go out and we will rent those WeWork spaces and be sitting next to a millennial, right, who's figured out how to work from home. Or, you know, is on a work program where they don't have to go into the office every day. It's a whole other, as you say, experience. Now, I want to stay with that concept. I know you're very familiar with the idea of age-friendly communities. And there's been, the United Nations have had reports of different areas all over the world that are age-friendly. And more often than not, they are very urban settings, like New York and Nairobi and places like this. How about the people themselves? Are they very interested in staying in urban communities, or is the consumer still interested in having their garden and more space? What are we seeing? We say the word downsizing, but I see now they're calling it downscaling. What's the difference in your mind, basically, and what are boomers gravitating to?
Well, I think this is where some regional preferences come into play. You know, in the Midwest, we tend to be a bit more agrarian in our background. And so being able to raise food, to grow food that we go directly from garden to table is very, very important. I think that there's concern about where is this food coming from. And so to be able to control the pesticides and all the herbicides and whatnot, that you just don't know what's being added to food when it's mass-produced in other parts of the country. So in the Midwest, gardening is important, and having access to the outdoor spaces are very important. I think that's a universal need of humans, is to really have access to natural daylight, to fresh air, to outdoor spaces that I can navigate very safely. You know, one of the Midwestern, I would say, expectations of residents is the car. You know, we're notorious for having two and three, and I mean, my in-laws who are in their 80s have four cars, and there's two of them, and so that car really becomes almost the last symbol of independence for folks that are walking through some of these transitions in life. So what we see in development is still having a two-car garage. And having something that's very accessible, not in a parking garage, not in a remote carport, but really attached to my living environment. So that's a bit of a regional expectation. But if I have lived my life in a more urban setting and I've relied on mass transit or walking and that sort of thing, I'm not that driven by having a car attached to my living quarters. So that becomes some of those regional differences.
And it also becomes very personal. It's very hard for people to give up the keys. And you
yep.
define then, and I hear this from baby boomer children, because after all, half of all 60-year-olds have a living parent. So they are the point people. They're the baby boomers, the elders, and the children at the same time. And you will hear how agonizing it is to get the keys away from their parents. But in New York, it's not a problem at all. The parents say, well, here's the keys, I'll take an Uber. And no problem. And in fact, me personally, I actually did buy a retirement place near Palm Springs, only because my kids live on the West Coast. They live within an hour of it. And I bought a new one, a different one, only you don't have to drive because there was a bus on the corner. And for
yep.
me, that's freedom. The car is not freedom for me. The bus is freedom for me. So all of you have to look at yourselves when it comes to how do you want to get around. And it's going to really help. It's probably the number one item other than health care. Where you will enjoy living when you retire. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of the really great trends and the beautiful designs that are filtering in to adult living. Don't go anywhere.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're always a surprise that it's our last segment, so I want to get down to the business. Of course, this is about the business of aging, and we're here with Mitch Elliott, who is not only the president of SAGE, Society for the Advancement of Gerontological Environments, but he's also principal at RDG Planning, and they're planning all over the country for the experiences that the boomers want in their environment. And one of the things that Mitch just talked about, and I did as well, is mobility. And we don't mean getting along with your feet, but we mean, can you give up the car? Can you get around? Do you need help to get to your college reunion? Do you need help to get to your doctor? And can you just get to the movies? This is really important that people sometimes don't think about when they see the beautiful chandelier. So we want to talk about that, and we also want to talk about beauty and how great design is infiltrating itself into senior environments. So, Mitch, let's start with the idea of the keys that we just stopped with right before the first segment. I know you had some thoughts on that.
Sure, and for years the car has actually been somewhat of a driving element, pun intended, in terms of design and planning within the senior living communities. We're actually master planning a project for John Knox Village in Pompano Beach, Florida. And what the consideration is that it would be a tower for senior living, independent living, over the top of two levels of a parking garage. But we're seeing with the advent of self-driving cars, and actually what Uber has done in the marketplace in terms of really taking care of transportation, how are we going to repurpose that parking garage in the future? We can't eliminate the garage yet, but at some point in time, folks won't be needing those cars. And so thinking into the future about how we reposition and repurpose those two levels of the building it's been an interesting discussion that we've had with our client and with the residents there in Pompano Beach. That is just a snippet of the opportunities and challenges that we're looking at in this transitional period.
It's fascinating. I said in our little break, I was going to tell you a little story about this. Every 10 years in Washington, D.C., there is something called the Washington Conference on Aging. And the last one was 2015, and Obama was president. And I got an invitation to this conference. Not too many people go, about 200, 225 people. And they announce the governmental policies about Social Security and Medicare and things like that. But this time, they had two corporations on panels there. And who was it? Are you ready? Airbnb and Uber. And Airbnb was talking about shared housing and how the new trend was going to be to have your little home much smaller, and they're just going to live all around the world. And that was the experiences that you're talking about, the experiential aspect of the baby boomer retirement. And Uber was talking about having accessible cars, cars that you could call special cars, where you could call if you were in a wheelchair or a walker, with the same kind of dignity that you can get into, let's say, the Lynx or other vans, accessible vans. And that was their plan because of what you just said. People eventually can't drive. They don't even want to drive at some point. They might have the driverless car, which actually was started at MetLife's Age Lab, MIT's Age Lab, I should say, for old adults. And it's so wonderful and prescient that you should be building garages to be repurposed even before they're finished. So that's a great thing. I do want to go. It's always so terrible. We never have enough time. We have about 3 minutes to my favorite topic, which is universal design, a design that's good for everybody and safe for everybody, but could be knockout gorgeous. Where are some of the trends here?
Well, I think one of the key points is that, and just what you said, it's ageless and it really is designed for everyone. So, and here's an interesting, I want to say, a dichotomy that's happening within our organization. Many interior designers and even the providers of housing and healthcare are leaning into what was called a hospitality model. It's a Club Med. It is really wrapped around experiences, and so the high end finishes, the hotel or hospitality type amenities within spaces have become very, very popular. That actually then has a bit of a conflict with our desire to create the sense of home. And what does home mean? So as you look at apartments, as you look at villas, cottages, whatnot, home is so dependent on your individual perspective. For my wife and I, we love mission style. We love arts and crafts. But that's not for everyone. Other folks love transitional style. Other folks like the clean Apple look. You know, walk into an Apple store and that's the apartment that they would love to have. So what we're seeing, though, is the customizability of creating a home based on what that means to you. That gives residents choice, that gives them options, and that gives them some say in those environments. And there are amazing finishes. Plastic laminates are just passe anymore in terms of work surfaces and whatnot. There are just so many opportunities of choice that makes it fun to really design and create these environments.
Well, and that's absolutely true, but I will say this. I rarely mention a product line, but there's still Formica out there, and if you take a look and you are a mid-century modern buff, my goodness, they're buying retro designs in the old-fashioned Formica that my mom threw out, you see, because it was old-fashioned to her. And for the millennials, it's, whoo, this is new, this is trendy. So, we're reimagining aging in every way, and that's what I want to tell. That's my message here, Mitch. And you're reimagining it right in the built environment. And that is just such a rewarding thing, and it's wonderful to hear about. I thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. It's been a great opportunity, and you have great questions. And thank you for just kind of exposing the passion that we all have for environments, for people of all ages, really.
Well, that's wonderful. And, of course, every single week I encourage everybody to get out and make things happen. Whatever it is, you are never too old to be who you could have been. So get out there, kids, and make it happen.
Thank you.